This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are continuing our conversations this morning on the latest developments and the aftermath of the killing of Sonya Massey, who was shot in her home July 6th by then Sangamon County Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson. We turn now to a representative of the Black community in Springfield. Sunshine Clemens is co-founder of Black Lives Matter Springfield chapter. Sunshine, welcome back to the 21st show.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Sunshine, I thought we could start by just taking a step back and beyond the Massey case. And how did you first get involved with Black Lives Matter?
Well, it was about 8 years ago, after the murders of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling happened back-to-back in July of 2016, looking for a way to allow the community to express the pain over the events, kind of come together, you know, stand up and say that this, you know, is unacceptable. And it started as a rally, and then it turned into there was a lot of need that was expressed, which then led us to actually start a chapter in Springfield.
And so then fast forwarding to this summer, when you first heard about the killing of Sonya Massey back in July, what was your immediate reaction?
Honestly, there was a lot of confusion because the details as they came out were very, I'll just say they were very murky. There was reports that it was potentially self-inflicted, that it was potentially a robbery. It was a while before it came out that it was actually an officer involved death. And so my initial feelings were just confusion as to what actually happened in that situation. And as we learned that there was an officer that was involved, that made us question even more why was it so unclear when it was initially and just as the story began to unfold, just a feeling of devastation that our chapter and our organization, the work that we do, is now so very targeted and focused in our own city, which it had not been before. So that was a big shift for us and really a challenge to support our community and show up for our neighbor and our friends and family who are moving through this. It's very different, you know, when you see it nationally, but when it's happening in your own city, it's an additional layer that you have to navigate. So there was a lot of that as well.
Yeah, that's such a great point, because it goes from something that's, you know, obviously is heartrending, but it's different when you see it on the news versus seeing it in your own town. So what responses have you heard from the community in the couple of months since the killing?
There's a lot of anger, sadness, frustration. A lot of the community is just devastated that something like this happened, and especially as things have come to light about Grayson, feeling like this could have been prevented. So when something like that happens, it's like this person didn't have to lose this community member. If there were different steps that had been taken, if different departments had reported various behaviors that have now since come to light, there's a potential that he may not have been in our community, may not have been a police officer at the time, and Sonya Massey could still be here with us. So there's a lot, there's a variety of emotion, I think, that is navigating through our community. And that's why one of the things that we've been very particular about is trying to make sure that our community and, you know, those in the county are practicing self-care and also taking care of themselves as they navigate through this, because it's really a challenge to show up for your community when you're hurting in that way. So we want people to remember to, you know, practice that self-care. We've been offering healing circles and things like that to try to provide, you know, therapy for the community and things like that, so that people aren't further inflicting more damage on themselves without the opportunity to have some sort of healing in that same space.
One of the official reactions to this episode has been the creation of this commission. It's called the Sonya Massey Commission. It hasn't had the most auspicious launch. We have some tape of somebody who spoke at the commission's first meeting last week.
I don't know who picked the chairs, And I don't know who made the decisions, but if Senator Doris can't be on it as a politician, then we shouldn't have no pastors on here. We should have people from the east side, from Ward 2 or Ward 3 on here. We should have some people from the hood on here. We also should have some people from the Massey family on this commission. And if that's not so, we wasting our time.
So, Sunshine, I know you couldn't be there in person, but you watched it online. What did you make of this meeting?
I thought there was a lot of great points made by the community, and a lot of it I agree with. The commission, from my understanding, I have heard that there is a family member that is going to be on the commission, so I'm glad to hear about that, but there hasn't been a lot of information released as far as other community members. So to some of those other points that are made, I'm not sure what that's going to look like. I do know they said they had over 200 people who applied, and they're also going to have work groups. So I'm hoping that this will be a good opportunity for those who have been most impacted by anti-Black and racial violence at the hands of police and others to be able to have their voices heard and represented and honored through this commission. But there have been some stumbling blocks, and many of which were addressed through that community forum.
What do you hope a commission like this will be able to accomplish?
I honestly want this commission to be able to be something that is able to bring forth real recommendations that can actually be applied at state, county, and city level, because we know changes are needed at all three of those levels in our state. And again, I really want to make sure that the people who are most impacted by these injustices are a part of this process and have their voices represented and honored and are listened to. So that's something that's really important to me. I also don't want this to just be a one-year commission. I think this is something that needs to be ongoing. Maybe not this specific commission, but something along these lines, because once these recommendations are out there, I don't think that's going to be the end. I think this is something that needs to be an ongoing community-based organization or opportunity for collaborative work beyond just this 1 year that this commission has been tasked to come up with these suggested reforms.
Let me remind people, this is the 21st show. We're talking about the aftermath of the killing of Sonya Massey in her home by a Sangamon County Sheriff's deputy. Today we're talking with Sunshine Clemens, who is a co-founder of Springfield Black Lives Matter. You can join us at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. Sunshine, can you put this in a broader context of public safety? It's not just the Sangamon County Sheriff's Department that is, what would you say, at issue or of concern here. And even in the sort of the brief of this commission, people have talked about the death, I think it was last year, of Earl Moore Jr., who was under the care of some emergency medical technicians when he died. Can you put this in the broader context of, I guess, public safety concerns writ large?
Yes. So the commission, like you said, is being put together. It's actually, there are three people that are the core focus of this commission. It's Sonya Massey, who obviously is the most prevalent, lost her life at the hands of police. Earl Moore Jr., as you mentioned, who lost his life after an interaction with the emergency personnel, and Gregory Small Jr., who's my brother, who was shot by the Chatham Police Department. So we've actually worked on supporting all three of these different situations through our chapter. And it's, like you said, it's not just the Sangamon County. It's a, in my opinion, a law enforcement concern as a whole, but all of the service entities, I think there's a real concern due to the lack of mental health awareness, training, support in place through these entities. the 988 number. We've been trying to make sure that more people are aware of that so that they know that there is another option versus calling the police, because in my personal opinion, the police are not equipped to handle many of the mental health concerns that are happening in our community, and it really should not be on them to navigate a lot of the calls that they are called out for. But because we don't have proper mental health support systems, they default to the police, because that's really the only one of the few resources that we have. But again, it is not just a Sangamon County issue. This is something that is systemic through our country. The prison system, our entire justice system, the legal system, there's so much reform that's needed. It's almost hard to articulate all the changes that need to happen. For example, I don't know if there's a case now where someone's being lethally injected on death row, and there's a potential of that person being innocent. I just returned from Montgomery, Alabama over the weekend visiting the Equal Justice Initiative sites that talk in depth about how our prison system needs reform, the legal system, our police systems, all of it. There's so much work to be done. It's really actually a challenge to even articulate, because it's so global at this point.
Yeah, the case you mentioned out of Missouri was Marcellus Williams, who is actually mm-hmm. scheduled to die tonight Supreme Court and the governor have refused to, even though the prosecutor of the jurisdiction where he was convicted has urged them not to, saying that there's evidence of, or at least significant questions about his guilt or innocence. So we've been focused a lot on the Sangamon County Sheriff's Department, and journalists have, and how former Deputy Grayson came to be employed there. But Springfield Police Department obviously is a major unit of law enforcement in the concern of Springfield Black Lives Matter. How has that agency's relationship been with your organization and the community in general?
We have been working on on building a relationship. We do have reached a point. We meet regularly with the city police, the city of Springfield, and I want to be clear, there are multiple police departments in Springfield. We have several what we call like donut holes, like Southern View, that are like small jurisdictional areas that have their own police departments.
Right. So Park District Police has its own police department for some reason.
Yes, there's right. the Park yeah. District, there's the Capitol Police, Southern View Police, Jerome. So there's probably in our city, I want to say there's like 6 to 8 different police departments. So there's a lot of law enforcement activity in a smaller area. We have been working on trying to establish and build a relationship with the Springfield Police Department for several years. We do meet with them regularly and have tried to, you know, have an open dialogue so that when things like this happen, we're already at the table versus trying to start a relationship based on something happening and trying to come together at that point. Obviously, you know, we don't always agree on things, but we are able to have discussions and have a venue and a system in place so that when problems arise or if someone in the community brings a situation to us, we're able to then take it to the police as part of our normal process. So we do appreciate that, you know, over the last couple of years, we've been able to establish that. And when things happen, they reach out to us at times for input. But there's definitely work to be, you know, to be done.
In some ways, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just say we've only got a few minutes left. But in some ways, the work that you are doing, it goes back more than 100 years, right? As you well know, Springfield was the site of a terrible race massacre that ultimately led to the creation of the NAACP. How do you think about the work you're doing in that historical context?
Honestly, it's a challenge. It's really hard to know that the things that we are fighting for now have been fought for so long. For example, I just, you know, mentioned that I was in Montgomery, Alabama over the weekend visiting the Equal Justice Initiative sites. It hit me over the weekend that if I go back in a year or two, they will most likely have a section of their museum dedicated to Sonya Massey losing her life at the hands of police, because they have George Floyd, they have Breonna Taylor. It's like we're making history in ways that, you know, we should not be. And we are continuing to ask for the same things that Malcolm X and Martin Luther King asked for, you know, or were fighting for. And this, because the system and the things that we're fighting for are systemic, it's such a challenge to actually make any real progress. If you make progress here in Springfield with, you know, XYZ law, it doesn't affect, you know, XYZ law in Chicago. It's you've got to be hitting it at so many different places and angles. So it's really an overwhelming thought to think that the work that we're doing is so slow and challenging and in depth, and it's ingrained in the systems that our country was founded on. That I don't know. It's a difficult thought.
Yeah. Just about a minute left. What keeps you going doing this difficult work?
I want better for my community, and I don't know how to not fight for it. It's kind of always been, it's just how I am as a person. And I think that we need so many different people at the table. It's just not something that I can walk away from. I love what I do. You know, it's not a job. I don't get paid for doing this, but it's something that I care deeply about, and it fulfills me and gives me a sense of purpose to know that, you know, I could potentially make things better for someone in the future by the work that I'm doing now. So that's kind of what keeps me going and sustains me.
Sunshine Clemens is co-founder of Springfield Black Lives Matter. Thank you for sharing your perspective with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to have a little more after a short break. Before we go, I do want to mention you can now find the 21st Show on YouTube. Just search for Illinois Public Media. Again, you can go to YouTube, search for Illinois Public Media, or keep listening right now. We'll be right back.